This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. On this episode, we're talking about disability pride and making the invisible visible.
It's just that automatic assumption that if you look okay, you must be okay. And if you're trying to use accommodations or adaptations, but you don't look classically disabled, you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, or you're trying to pull a fast one type of thing.
Having the stoma then gave me freedom, and it gave me accessibility to go and do stuff and to live my life again, and to leave the house in confidence.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Now, as the title said, we are actually coming towards Disability Pride Month, July's Disability Pride Month. We talk a lot within the medical profession, I know, especially within stoma care and ISC, about invisible disabilities. So I've brought along a couple of ambassadors, because as you know, I do like to bring out the big guns in episodes like this. It's a couple of ambassadors we've met before, and I've got Ben and Samantha joining me. So hi, Samantha, how are you?
Hi, Hannah. I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Now, I know we've had you on a couple of these episodes before, but can you just give the listeners a little recap to yourself for me?
Yes, so I've been an ambassador since about 2019, I think. I self-catheterise and I have a colostomy. I've essentially been dealing with disability since the age of 11, and I had a spinal cord arteriovenous malformation, which was quite significant. It caused a spinal cord injury. I do walk, but I have also experienced a year of being a wheelchair user. So I've kind of experienced both invisible and more visible aspects of disability. And I'm just really great, pleased to be here and looking forward to having a great discussion today.
Thank you so much for joining us again. And Ben, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. And Samantha already said, I think this is going to be such a good and exciting conversation we're going to have. So can you just give us a little recap about yourselves? And again, I know you've done a few podcasts with me before.
Yeah, so I have got Crohn's disease, which I have had since 2019. So I suppose in some senses, you know, like that itself could be classed as a disability. It's pretty disabling at times. And then I had my ileostomy made in June 2022, so it's just coming up to 3 years now. And then I've since had proctectomy surgery, so it's all permanent now. And that's it now for the rest of my life. So, yeah, I've been an ambassador for probably a couple of years now. And, yeah, it's just great to be able to come and talk about these important matters.
It really, really is. And I think it's so great that there are actually these sort of awareness months out there now. There's so many people out there that are living with disabilities, be it visible or invisible. And I love what you said, Samantha, that you've actually experienced both sides of disability almost. Did you find it was different in how you were treated with one disability to the other when you said you're a wheelchair user for the 12 months?
Definitely. I think in several aspects, really. And when I was a wheelchair user, I was younger. So it was after the operation I had in America. I was 12 years old. It was a very awkward age, you know, when you're going through puberty and everything like that, and having everyone staring at you essentially everywhere you go. I think people made more allowances for me. They didn't need to ask me questions, you know, what do you need, etc. They just assumed that I would need a bit of extra help. I didn't have to feel awkward going to the accessible bathroom or anything like that. People would actually be more than happy to come up to me and ask me what the problem was, what's wrong with you, why are you in a wheelchair, etc. Whereas now, as time has gone by, I have had sometimes when I've been using crutches or a stick, my gait isn't very normal if we put it in inverted commas. So to the trained eye, you might notice that there's something wrong. But also to the untrained eye, you might not have a clue why that lady's standing in the queue for the disabled toilet. People have asked me questions like, why you know, there's the queue over there. You can't jump the queue just because you want to come in here. And I've had to say, well, I actually have to use this catheter to empty my bladder and I have a stoma, but, you know, and if I don't do it quite soon, there's going to be a problem. And then they've been fine about it. But it's just that automatic assumption that if you look okay, you must be okay. And if you're trying to use accommodations or adaptations, but you don't look classically disabled, you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, or you're trying to pull a fast one type of thing. And I think another thing that is really interesting is people now don't really ask me questions. And I'd be more than happy to say, you know, I'm an absolute advocate for people with hidden disabilities, stomas, ISC, various other things. And I would be absolutely more than happy to talk to my friends, family, other people about it. But if the questions don't come, if the curiosity isn't there, it almost feels like that feeds into, is this an embarrassing thing to talk about? Do I need to not volunteer the information? So it's a really tricky balance to strike, I've found. It is tricky. And I think like the sunflower lanyard scheme is amazing, because you pop one of those on and automatically someone knows something. You know, that person might be need a little bit of extra help, a bit of understanding, gentleness, etc. And we didn't used to have that. We didn't used to have things like that. So we are moving forward. We're definitely moving forward in huge strides. But
I say it's going forward. Still a long way to go, but it is going in the right direction. I'm interested from your thoughts on sort of invisible disabilities and things like that, Ben, because obviously you are, I'm going to try and say this without sounding rude towards poor Samantha here. Samantha's been experiencing this all for many years now, whereas you are relatively new to the experiences of disabilities, hidden or otherwise. How have you found adapting to that sort of way of thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been an eye-opener. I suppose I probably classically had never really considered people with disabilities other than really visually obvious ones. And I suppose I was pretty blinkered to the possibilities of all sorts of things. I certainly didn't know that people were doing things like ISC. I didn't have a clue that you could still sort of see someone walking around with a catheter in, kind of thing. I guess I was completely blind to that. I kind of knew stomas existed, but didn't really know anything about them. And there's obviously, like Samantha said, various other aspects of invisible disabilities as well. And you know, you go back into sort of medical aspects of people with various autoimmune diseases and things that actually that present in very challenging ways that essentially mean that you have got a disability. Your body doesn't work in a way that it typically does for a prolonged period of time, or whatever the legal definition is. It is still relatively new. I suppose some of it is getting over your own mindset of how you feel about it in terms of whether you think you consider you have a disability or not, which in itself is an odd one coming from the perspective as a stoma user. Stoma user, as if I use my stoma, it's there. Someone with a stoma. Some sort of like tool. But I've come through it from this perspective of actually it's... I couldn't exist before the surgery. In the lead up to it, I basically could go to work because I work at where I live and I have about a 2-minute journey and I could just about survive it. But I wasn't going out places. I was really restricted. So you know, my day-to-day life was okay, but beyond that, any kind of social life was completely debilitated. So having the stoma then gave me freedom and it gave me accessibility to go and do stuff and to live my life again and to leave the house in confidence. So initially, I suppose I didn't really think too much of it. But every time I went to go to use a disabled toilet, I'd have this whole rehearsal of a script in my head of what I was going to say if someone challenged me. And I think it's hard for anyone, but as a young-ish, clinging onto the last few months of my you know, I'm 6'3". I don't look like I should be standing in the disabled toilet for many people because they don't realise that there's these invisible differences. And because of that, it's quite hard. So yeah, rehearse this script over and over in my head. And I've only had one circumstance where actually someone has said something really horrible to me. And that script just went completely out of my mind. And it completely went and I was completely like baffled and didn't really know what to say. And it shook me up for a bit. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so it's been really eye-opener. I think it's been really important actually for me on a learning curve in terms of going through all of this to realize what other people go through on a day-to-day basis. Made me more interested in learning about the challenges that other people face from various different medical aspects.
And that's exactly what Samantha was talking about, really, about that being curious. Actually, it can make you, as an individual living with what you're living with, more curious about other things that are going on. And very similar to what you both said, I mean, I don't always use the disabled toilets, but don't get wrong, if my pouch is playing up and I need to get there quickly, I am not going to hang around in a queue of people. And likewise, I'm not going to go in a cubicle next to somebody. Nobody needs to hear what's going on with that pouch on a bad day. And fairly recently, actually, it was only a couple of months ago, I actually got questioned by somebody for using the toilet. And a bit like you said, Ben, you have this whole sort of mantra in your head you're going to come out with. And I think I did initially waffle, and then I did manage to come up with, you don't know what's going on inside of me. I'm probably more ill than anybody else that's used this toilet today because we're at a festival. So maybe just be kind. And the other people in the toilet queue actually gave me a round of applause at that point, at which point I then scurried off feeling quite embarrassed at that point. Collarplus Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk to find out more. We've touched on some blow lanyards, we've touched on disabled toilets. A lot of toilets now, it's not that classic wheelchair sign on a toilet door anymore, is it? There are actually some toilets now where it does say not every disability is visible. And I think that is a fantastic step forward, because it was for ages just a disabled toilet. It was the wheelchair sign, and that was it. Almost to me, and I don't know if that's me overthinking it now. I'll see what you guys think. Overthink it from my perspective. It almost insinuates that's all the disabled toilet is for. If you're not in a wheelchair, you're not really allowed to be using that toilet. I don't know if that's me taking things personally or not. What are your guys' feelings? I'm going to come to you first, Samantha. And again, because you've kind of sat in both camps almost, what's your feeling on the disabled toilet signs?
Personally, I think they should all be changed to not all disabilities are visible signs. I appreciate more than a lot of people that when you are in a wheelchair, it is exceptionally difficult to, or impossible, not only impossible to use a regular toilet stall.
Yeah.
But if you've got to go, you've got to go. And if you've got a reason that means you're likely to have an issue, you should be able to use those adapted toilets. I just think anything that can raise awareness that not all disabilities are visible, I'm absolutely all for it. And I think people, just someone standing there waiting in the queue for the regular toilet, seeing that sign and seeing someone who looks able-bodied waiting there, it just probably diffuses the whole situation. It diffuses that thought they might be having that, why is that person standing there? And even children, I think, will see these things and it will become the norm. I think being a kid today is amazing for being more aware of different disabilities and how to just accept people more. So I really like the new signs, and I think they need to be, they need to take over the purely wheelchair signs.
Yeah, I feel much more comfortable when it's accessible toilet. You feel like you're less likely to get challenged by somebody when you've got that sign as opposed to, you know, disabled toilet. But I think, regardless, I go into that situation trying to sort of indicate that I belong in the queue. So I'll often have like my radar key out and quite visible, almost kind of like waving it around. I'll often like touch my stoma bag and sort of just almost like to sort of try and give some sort of sign that actually that there's a reason that I'm in the queue.
Well, your sunflower lanyard over your head a bit, maybe.
Get the bag out and do a belly dance, you know. It does make it so much more comfortable when that stigmatism of that original sign is not there. And even just saying, you know, the sign itself, I don't think is the issue. It's the phrase of disabled toilet alongside it. So when you've got the disabled toilet sign and the wheelchair sign, but it says accessible toilet, fine. That for me is that's enough. But just adding that strap line about essentially what it is, you know, at the end of the day, for people who have got, you know, ISC or a stoma, ultimately our disability is the toilet. Like that is why we are disabled. Like, everybody, like almost in, I know obviously it's wheelchair users, like Samantha says, physically you kind of have to use it, but like we are literally disabled in our digestive systems or our urinary tracts. Like that's what the toilet is for. So then get judged on standing in a queue.
We need the toilet.
Yeah. And again, I think back to the times before I even had my stoma and like, it was. I probably didn't use it as much as I should have done when my Crohn's was bad. Even more so out of fear. I think I would have felt really uncomfortable to use it back then. But that was when I really needed it. Like I just had to go. Like I couldn't wait any longer. Literally. So yeah, it's a difficult one, and it's one that the more that we see things like this happen, we talk about this stuff, and I think that's why. I've said a podcast before, I'm very open with my pupils at school. I told them what I was going to go in for. Well, they knew about my Crohn's already. I've been very open about that. I was very open about the surgeries and what's happened. And you know, they'll often ask questions. And the more young people in particular can kind of hear about this stuff and see it in social media and in media in general, then the more it just becomes normal. And then these sort of doubts that the users have will start to hopefully fade away, because people generally don't care. You think, I've been challenged once in 3 years. Yeah, other than that, yeah, I've had a few stares and glares, but no one's ever dared actually say anything to me. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it would help.
Interesting there that you mention media, social media. And I think this is where there has been progress as well when it comes to hidden disabilities. I've noticed more so in back when I had my stoma in like 2012, 2013, there was nothing really in the media or social media. I mean, social media was still in its infancy, I suppose, at that point, but there wasn't anything in the media, certainly, about stomas or anything like that. And it does, you've almost self-created that feeling of isolation before you've even got anywhere. But there is stuff now in the media. Social media's, and it's probably my good old algorithm, but I can't go on Instagram or Facebook without seeing somebody with a stoma bag on. And granted, it's mainly you guys half the time, but there we go. But it is out there now. Whereas, you know, 12, 13 years ago, there was nothing out there. And it's, I think there is becoming that more of a acceptance, but actually more people willing to create awareness to create that acceptance as well. So, again, Samantha, I'm going to come to you from a longevity point of view. So you've said dealing with disabilities since the age of 11, certainly no social media, anything like that. Do you remember seeing anything in general media about disabilities, especially hidden disabilities or in general?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I mean, we are going back quite a way now, and I was living in South Africa, and in terms of this sort of thing, they are a little bit behind Europe and America and everything. I was completely and utterly isolated. I started off with ISC. The bladder was my main problem initially, alongside the walking. I didn't know anyone who had continence issues. I didn't know, and I was certainly too mortified to bring it up with anybody. The healthcare system there, there weren't any sort of specialist nurses that I was under as a child. So I do often think if I was a child in this day and age, or even, you know, a bit older, more later teens, I would feel so much less isolated and less embarrassed and ashamed and able to talk to people and have that peer support, which I think is completely invaluable.
Yeah.
Helping boost your self-esteem, helping realize like this is okay. You know, it's not your fault. you didn't bring this upon yourself and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I had my stoma in 2018, and even as a medically trained doctor, I didn't actually know that much about them. I knew, you know, I knew the technical stuff. I knew the difference between a colostomy and an ileostomy, etc. But I myself actually thought the stoma would work like the bowel in terms of you would go once a day and then change your stoma and that would be it. That's what I honestly thought. And obviously I know different now. And just being able to have that peer support has been so good for me. And I think, you know, having had chronic illness for many, many years, especially coming from a young child, it does affect your self-esteem and it affects, you have this medical trauma that you carry with you. Yeah. And being able to share that with people who actually get it is really, really helpful. So I think, you know, representation absolutely matters. I think we're doing amazing things with stoma. I think we can go a bit further with ISC because I think still not many people really understand what that is. And if I can make a plug now, I've been co-creating a musical about people with disabilities for people with disabilities. And it's going to be on at the Nottingham Playhouse in September. And we have a character who has a stoma. And I'm so thrilled about it. And the stoma is a big feature in the musical, in part of the musical. So I'm just thrilled about that because we've just got to get it all out there. Every aspect of life, there will be someone with a stoma, won't there? And we just need to get it out there. And, it's quite a risque character. She maybe says certain things that I wouldn't necessarily say or do things I wouldn't necessarily do, but it's not based on me. But I'm just thrilled that that's going to be out there. And if anyone's interested, we're going to have a website coming out shortly. Am I allowed to say what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
www.secretsidesmusical.co.uk, and the musical is called Secret Sides of Us. So it's very much talking about the things we're talking about today in terms of invisible disabilities and things like that. So yeah, if anyone's in the local area in September, you're welcome to come along.
I'm not sure what I'm more impressed by at the moment though, Samantha, the fact that there is a character with a stoma, or the fact that you helped co-create this whole thing, that you are now officially like a playwright sort of thing, maybe. I'm not sure which I'm more impressed by at the moment.
Well, I've got to have things to keep me busy now.
Absolutely fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, looking back on these social media things, going, Ben, now what was really interesting, what you said, Samantha, was, it was almost easier to come to terms with your stoma because of what was around in the media, social media at that point, that there was a lot more support there. Did you know where to sort of go, Ben, at that point? Because again, I'm thinking fairly recently when you were diagnosed with Crohn's and then even more recently with your stoma. Did you feel almost instantly that there was a community out there for you?
If I go back to like the earlier days of my Crohn's, so I think I said the wrong date. Actually, it was 2009 when I was diagnosed with Crohn's. So it's quite a long time ago. And back then, you know, I think Facebook was still pretty young back then. So that was kind of the main form of social media, wasn't it? And of course, it was Crohn's and Colitis UK. My Crohn's back then was really quite mild and it didn't really affect me very much. So I didn't see any representation. And for a long time, that kind of made things a lot harder for me, actually, and made it harder. Certainly as things progressed and it did get worse because I didn't feel any connection. So I kind of shut myself off from other people with it. I didn't seek it out because I kind of just felt like I was some sort of like weird blip where I had it, but it wasn't really affecting me. And it's never going to be me. I'm not going to be ever going to be like that. This is, you know, it's fine. In reality, it still had its challenges and it was still difficult. And then as it kind of got a bit worse, I suppose I still didn't really sort of search it out until then I knew I was going to have surgery and then that became an option. And at that point, I then wasn't on social media in terms of like Instagram and TikTok and stuff. I'd always kind of stayed clear of it as being a teacher or something I wasn't really kind of wanting to get involved in at all. So I kind of thought, well, where am I going to go? I had all these leaflets and, you know, all the leaflets were of sort of 70, 80-year-old people. And I thought, well, that's not at the time I was, 36, and this isn't me, I don't connect with this. And so I found some stuff on YouTube, and that really helped, actually. It enabled me to kind of see, I had two main sources. So there's my friend Moeed Majeed, who had this whole series of videos just documenting himself before the surgery, through it, and afterwards. And that was very light and dark, and I needed the realism of that to sort of show me what I was going to go through. And that enabled me to kind of think, okay, I can do this. If he can do it, I can do it. And then aside from that, obviously I'd found Misha's stuff, which obviously is everywhere. And that was all over YouTube. And that was enough to make me see what a stone was actually going to look like, what the bag would look like. And so that enabled me to kind of start to sort of visualize what my life might look like afterwards. And from that, I kind of had enough on top of all the leaflets to kind of think, okay, let's do this. And I can say yes, because it was an elective surgery, and I kind of had, for a long time, but I'd chosen to do it. In reality, I didn't have a choice, but yeah, it was enough to get me through the process. And then since then, lying there in the hospital bed, I thought, you know what, if I watch those videos and that helps me, then if I can create a video and it's going to help at least one person, then I'm going to do it. And that's then, I suppose, where my own journey with it started. So yeah, I was blinked to it for a long time and then saw the importance of it. So like Samantha says, that the peer connection, like especially now, I've kind of gone through, I think, the whole journey of someone described it as like you've been up like a mountain and then you've kind of reached the peak, you've come back down again, and now you're a bit kind of lost and you don't know what you're doing anymore. You don't really know who you are. And so I had to go through this period of kind of like, oh, I'm no longer this person that's gone through all this medical stuff and of like, I'm dealing with it. I've dealt with it. Like, it's there. It does its job. It doesn't really bother me. Would I prefer if it wasn't there for a few days? Yes, that'd be quite nice. You know, a few days without it would be pretty good, but it's not going to happen. So you just get on with it.
You can hear the pride in both of you talking about the communities that you are, you know, the pride of you there, Ben, talk about, actually, do you know what? I wanted to go out there and try and help somebody else. So Samantha, with you, what you've done with the play as well, that pride there, and you're creating that extra awareness. And I think that's exactly what we've been talking about. It is creating that pride around who we are and what we are. It's not letting it, I know that we say they're hidden disabilities, but why should they be hidden? We should be proud of them. With Ben swinging his sunflower lanyard above his head while he's going to the toilet.
That is funny, actually. I feel more uncomfortable if I meet people until I've told them. I feel like I'm kind of like, I'm hiding something by not telling people. It is a massive part of me now. It has become a huge part of me. I'm not just my stoma. I'm not just my medical background and my Crohn's, but I'd be lying if I hadn't sculpted me into the person I am today. So I feel like if I don't tell people about it, or I try and sort of hide it away, A, they're going to find out in a way that I'm not then comfortable with, and B, I just feel like I'm being really fake. So I am really proud. I'm proud of what it symbolizes. I love my scars because I think they're fantastic in showing perseverance that I've had to go through and we've all had to go through to get to the place that we're in now. And they're a great reminder of when there's a hard day and looking down and think, actually, that was a worse day. So this is okay.
That day was far worse than this one.
That was a lot worse. So yeah, I think it's a massive thing to be proud about. And yeah, it's something that I think that's why I show my bag quite a lot. And actually, if I go to like swim at the pool or the beach, I feel more conscious having a stoma wrap on than having just my bag out, because I feel like I'm hiding something. Like I'm almost like ashamed. And so I'm kind of like hiding it. And then I feel like actually more people are going to look at me. Whereas if I've just got my bag out, it's like, well, this is me. This is, you know, there you go. Have a look.
I love that. And it is that pride. And I think, and I say it on virtually every podcast I record with you guys, but we could not do what we do without you guys. You guys, you know, I tell you all the time, you're my little rock stars. You, every single one of you. I think, yeah, what you do and the awareness you create and the messages you send out are absolutely brilliant. And I cannot thank you both enough for being part of this podcast. I think this is such an important conversation to have. Such an important month coming up in July with Disability Pride. So hopefully there's lots more going on out there. And yeah, thank you just both so much. I really do appreciate you both spending time with me again, out of your day, spending time waffling away to me again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you to everyone for listening. Hopefully be more going out for Pride Disability Pride Month, even get my words the right way around. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collar Plus Professional.